my baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile, my curiosity running wild. Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go.
Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. We're glad you guys have joined us today as we talk about Ebola and traveling at this time. So, Doc Bill, that was a great explanation that you gave in the last segment. I mean, it really does help us understand really what Ebola is and really how it's constructed, really.
Well, to give some idea of it, and again, it's a virus, and it's a virus that has to be that can be contracted by intimate contact. But again, if you take precautions and you educate yourself, you know, you can better help making your trip better, and you also decrease the chance of you getting such an infection.
Well, you know, a lot of people are talking about air travel and their risk of contracting Ebola. And CNBC on their website had a really good article that really addressed some of the questions that, you know, that a lot of people have, or just even if you don't have them, really to get you sort of thinking about really how concerned you should be and maybe putting you at ease a little bit. Because one of the questions that was asked is, why are airlines concerned? So why should airlines be so concerned about Ebola?
Well, airlines are going around the globe. They're taking people from one part of the world to another. And you've got people also in a confined space as well.
Right. And I guess one sick passenger on a plane could theoretically infect hundreds of people, possibly.
They could, and that would be depending on the pathogen or the virus or the entity. But again, that's this possibility and this what's probable. Mm-hmm. And you got to focus on what's probable.
Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe there's some other diseases that in those particular cases, like SARS, more airborne type diseases would be more of a concern with one person infecting so many people at one time. But I would think also, too, just also keeping the flying public, you know, comfortable and at ease and making sure that people are going and traveling. Because if people don't travel, that's really going to hurt financially also, too, the airline industry and really the tourism industry.
It's that commerce, people moving, ideas moving, as well as goods and services to people.
Well, you know, another question also, too, that they covered on their website was really whether or not people should be traveling to West Africa. And the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, has put out a warning for Americans to avoid travel to some of those countries that are harder hit unless it's essential travel. So any non-essential travel, they're really suggesting that you don't travel.
And I think at times like this, it's best to heed their warning to the conditions and they get better control of what's going on over there.
Well, they're really the ones on the front line with researching this. So if they're saying, you know, now is not the time to fly to Guinea, to Liberia and Sierra Leone, then we should probably take their advice on that and really postpone those trips unless, again, it's a necessary trip for us to take. So is Ebola deadly, though? I mean, what's the research on that now?
It's a deadly virus. I mean, most people, when you're looking at contracting it, anywhere from 60% usually will die. I mean, it has a very, very high mortality rate associated with it. But it's a disease also that's hard to get. Unless you put yourself in an environment or a place where the disease is epidemic, you have a higher chance of picking it up.
Now, there are a couple of U.S. airlines that are flying to West Africa. As a matter of fact, I know someone that is still flying with their, you know, airline that they work with to Liberia and to Ghana. So I guess if you're working, that's just, you know, part of work as well, just as the missionaries who were going over doing this great work to try and help patients in Africa that are suffering from Ebola. But there are a couple of airlines that U.S. airlines that do fly to Africa that are still flying, and Delta's still flying. They fly into Dakar, they fly into Ghana, they fly into Lagos, Nigeria, and of course they fly into Liberia as well. Now, the airline was planning to pull out of Monrovia, Liberia, but that wasn't really previously determined by the Ebola outbreak. It was determined by some other services that they were planning to cancel at the end of September. But now Delta is letting people with flights to these regions push their travel back. So if you do have travel planned to some of these areas and other areas, too, that you may personally be concerned about, definitely check with your airline, because I know there have been some cases of concern as well at Gatwick Airport, as well as some airports, other airports around the world. So when you're planning these trips, you know, just check with your airline to see what the, you know, what the fees may be if you need to change. United also goes to Lagos, and American Airlines, which is another one of our large carriers does not fly into Africa at this time. But now CNBC also had another question as well about, you know, whether or not passengers leaving Africa, if they're being screened at this time, too.
And most of the screening will be uses a series of questions. Was the person recently sick? Do they have fever? Do they have gastrointestinal problems? And those are helpful information to at least get some idea of what's going on. But also from a practical perspective, there are a lot of there are a lot of diseases which aren't as bad as Ebola, which have those same symptoms. Mm. And so, you know, again, it's basically trying to find someone who has a history, who's been in a location that has that. And again, they will try to do what they can to try to get a good idea of what's going on. But, I mean, these symptoms that you get are things that other things can cause. So healthcare workers have to rule a lot of these things out before they actually narrow it down to doing a test. And they do have a blood test they do for Ebola.
And I think that is the area that makes people most concerned, is that the symptoms can look like symptoms for the flu or just a stomach virus or some of these other things. So how are the airline crews and the airline staff really being able to check and make a definitive decision that this is someone that maybe we should put in isolation?
Well, usually the persons themselves are doing the traveling will usually have some indication that this is what's going on.
And because of the way they're feeling.
And, you know, people want to do things that's going to best help them. And so that's a good source of information. And again, you know, they will determine if they have enough cases that are reported in an area. If they feel it's worth shutting that area down, they will place a quarantine in that area.
Well, I know some of the European and some of the airlines from other countries, they're actually doing a couple of things to make sure that once they're on board, you know, that their crews are also taking note of any behavior or any symptoms that they may see with their passengers as well. And of course, the CDC has traveled over to Liberia to get directly involved and over to Africa to get directly involved with screening as well. Now, any other questions on the CNBC website?
Well, they, you know, when you look at it as far as patients being screened before and after, all these are helpful information that's helpful to have when you look at this. I mean, the outbreaks run their course. The point is basically to find out what the source is. And again, the other thing is to find out the most effective way of treating it. But this will not be the first one that we have, and it won't be the last. As you get more people on the planet and there's more travel, people not only share food and ideas, they also share bugs. And that's something that's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's inevitable. Now, you mentioned, though, that, you know, there have been other concerns, too, that we've had. And CNBC addressed one of those questions, too, because people were wondering about that as well. You know, is this something that's just, you know, a concern now, or have we had some other outbreaks in the past? So what are some of the other things?
Well, SARS is something we've had, which, again, this can be spread by coughs and sneezes as well. I mean, it can be spread by coughs and sneezes, unlike Ebola, which is most close and intimate contact. So, I mean, these have been out here before and we've gotten through it. But again, it's education. And sometimes you just have to put faith in your public system and your trained individuals to let them know what to do. And that can be quite helpful in seeing us through most crises. One advantage here in the West is we do put a lot in science, and it has served us quite well. And I think we need to keep that education first to make a big difference in getting through this problem.
Well, this wasn't one of the questions on the CNBC website, but how does the public health department then play into this? Is that a resource for us?
It's a good resource because it gives you the local information, and you want that local, and you can take that local and apply it to what's happening on a global or general scale. But they have their finger on the pulse. They have ideas of what's going on in the community. They do testing, and they get those test results back. So they're a really good source to utilize.
Because the public health department, I mean, they're just that. They're interested in the public health.
Right. And public health, it looks at the health of the whole population. You don't look at the individual. They try to keep a healthy population. So they make decisions that are going to help the population as a whole. And that's what you want with public health.
Well, you know, that's, I think, a really great way to wrap up this particular segment, because when we come back, we're going to bring on Dr. Linda Bell, who is an epidemiologist in South Carolina. She actually works for the public health department. We've got a ton of questions for her to help us understand a little bit more about traveling and staying healthy. Back in a few minutes, this is Travel Bags with Anita and Friends on North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN.
She's a rich girl. She don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na.
She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. 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 Diamonds on the soles of her shoes.